Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of High Velocity Radio. And it's going to be a fun one, huh, Katie?
It definitely is.
You have any big plans this weekend?
This weekend, one of my good friends is getting married in Middle Georgia, so that'll be fun.
Oh, so you're driving down?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to drive there.
Spend the night?
No, going to go up and back
day
the same
trip.
Day. Yeah.
Wow.
And she asked all of our friends if we had a canoe because her and her soon-to-be husband are very outdoorsy. They're going to paddle away.
Do you have a canoe?
I was not the one who gave him a canoe. I do not have a canoe laying around. So, no.
So you're not going to be part of the... That
no, not part of that.
That's how they're going to end the wedding? They're going to just...
Canoe away.
Canoe off.
Right. And they said in the invitation that you can bring bathing suits and so I'm not really, and board games, like games to play outside. So
wow. So you're not going to be doing that either, right?
I'm going to be playing games, yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to the show. We got an interesting show today. We got Tom Loftus and Jim Garrard with 3G Insurance. And then after that, we got Adwait Joshi with DataSeers. So welcome, Tom and Jim.
Hey, thanks so much for having us.
So you're with 3G Insurance, or is that a business insurance? What type of insurance are you guys working on?
It is. So we're business insurance, and specifically commercial trucking insurance is our niche.
Specifically.
Very specific.
That's very specific.
It's certainly a niche market, but when you drive around down the roadways, you realize, I think I'm in a good business.
Exactly. There's quite a few trucks that meet the bill there. So how'd you guys get into that?
So, yeah, it's interesting. We're in the same building as a factoring company, which no one knows what is, but they help with cash flow with business owners. And specifically, their niche is commercial trucking. And they know that those commercial truckers all need insurance to satisfy the regulatory requirements. And so they decided they wanted to start an insurance company. And that's where I came in.
And so they said, hey, why don't you handle the insurance side?
Correct.
And then we'll do the factoring side.
Yeah, just do the easy stuff with the insurance.
Well, it seems like you guys are constantly battling every billboard in town is after the big trucking guys.
100%. Why is that, right? It's because all of these commercial truckers have to have $1 million of liability insurance at a minimum.
So then, you know, why do they rob banks? Because that's where the money is.
That's where the money is, sir. That's correct.
So now, what's the story between you and Jim?
Well, that's a great question. So,
should we ask Jim or are you?
I'd love to introduce Jim. And so, okay. What happens is we sell commercial trucking insurance, right? And we keep track of all the regulatory requirements, all the new insurance companies that are entering the market and any who are leaving the market. And so, that's what we do day in and day out. However, after we place that insurance, we find out, well, all these business owners, well, they have other needs as well, right? So the regulatory requirements satisfy your liability for everybody else on the road, but what about you and everything inside your truck, including mm-hmm. you and your business and your family? And so we realized with all these other needs, we needed to reach out to other experts that could satisfy those needs for our clients. And that's where I reached out to Jim for his expertise in some other fields.
And then what's your expertise, Jim?
I have specialized in the living benefits. Business owners today, they are exposed if they become critically ill, chronically ill, or terminally ill. They can't run their business. They're out of work. Their business fails, and they lose everything. Today, with the new kind of insurance, the old insurance you had to die to use. With the new insurance, you can become ill, chronic, critical, or terminal, accelerate that benefit, get yourself a big check, and recover peacefully and keep your business running. So when you get back well, your business is still strong. People that don't have this, they end up losing, in Tom's case, their truck, their home, their business, everything. So with this protection, which is relatively new, we can protect the owner from becoming ill. We can also create a tax beneficial retirement plan that will create a lifetime income. Mm-hmm. So he can build a pension for himself. He can protect his business. And then, of course, if he dies, there's a death benefit there also. The thing about it is that most people don't realize is that 48% of all business failures are due to critical illness.
Like one of the key people dies and then the business can't absorb that and they don't have the money or...
Exactly. And you look at smaller businesses today. Everybody's got a business and out of their house there's one or two of them. And if they get sick and can't run that business, they lose the business, the house, the cars, everything. And they become a statistic to bankruptcy, which in last year, 65% of all bankruptcies were due to medical bills. And out of that 65%, 80% had health insurance. So, wow. You know, it's a scary thing out there. And what has happened with a lot of these large insurance carriers is they've realized that people are getting sick, but they're living. And it's financially devastating their business, their homes, everything. So these living benefits, which are relatively new, are no additional charge of premium to the policy. And it will protect them no matter what happens, especially the smaller business owners.
And that's the thing that people have to understand is these people in trucking, that's their business. 100%. And the truck is their office.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And everything revolves around that. Imagine if you're in your office could just get kicked to the side of the road.
Right.
And then what do you do, right? So the two biggest things that can happen is their equipment breaks down, their office breaks down, or they break down, right? And so we've got it covered, and we've got our clients covered for anything that happens if their office breaks down. And that's why we bring in Jim, where it happens. What happens if they break down?
Right. Because it's not like the spouse can all of a sudden jump in the truck and start driving.
Well, that's 100% right. In most cases,
right.
We find that it does run in the family.
Right.
It sure is.
Depend on the spouse, I guess.
That's 100% right.
Yeah.
So now, how many, are there a lot of truckers based here in the Metro Atlanta area?
There's a lot, but amazingly, you might not think just driving on the roadways, but not nearly enough. So actually, the industry suffers from a shortage of drivers. And so there's really a call on to bring new drivers into the industry. One of the issues, though, it's they ask for new drivers, but then there's a lot of requirements. And so that's where we come in to help kind of guide them along their path.
So you help a person that's thinking about being a driver become a driver as well?
Correct. And same as in the case with Jim, is we tap into some other resources that we vetted, that we stand behind, just a select group of folks that we would turn them to. So we can answer some general questions, but then when they're really ready to go and want someone to help walk them through the regulatory requirements and just setting up their business and getting ready to go on the road, we have some other folks that we would hand them off to do the legal compliance portion.
And you know, the reason Tom and I are such a great fit is because of his clientele. If they do become ill and can't work, I don't know about them, but if I don't work, I don't get paid. So if they can't work, then they're going to end up losing their business, their rig, their home, and everything without this particular living benefits.
Right. So now, Jim, are your clients only drivers, or your service expands well beyond just drivers, right? It's any business owner, I would think.
Any business owner of any kind, and families in general, too, that want to protect their homes. Mm-hmm. But it's a great focus, a great fit with the truckers because of their exposure.
And then how many truckers are you dealing with?
So there's plenty on the roadways, and we only have a small percentage of it. But Well, I guess I don't want to give out our whole client list, but we have.
Is there 1,000 truckers here, and is it 10,000?
You can keep going up. Yeah, keep going up from that. Sure.
So there's tens of thousands.
So let me put it this way: so the National Minority Trucker Association, who's located here in Georgia in College Park, who handles the entire country, so they're looking to add 50,000 new truckers over the next 5 years. So if you think about it, 50,000 boils down to. That's what's the shortage in the market. And so certainly there's a much larger collection here in the state. So let me tell you, every single day, we cover 10 states. So we cover Georgia and 9 other states. In those 10 states, 100 new truckers apply for their authority every single day. And so we get
that
list of 100.
So they don't make it.
Once they apply, the way to make it really is to complete the authority requirements, the last of which is buying insurance.
Right.
Right.
And so you have to have insurance. That's a must have. That's not a nice to have.
Correct. So it costs money just to apply. So the vast majority of trucking companies who apply for their authority, they do see it through. So there's some percentage that fall out from there once they find out all of the things. Some come in with no experience and find out, wow, this probably
this is harder than I thought.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know, everyone that can fog a mirror who I would guess over the age of 30 worries about four things, really. One is dying too soon and leaving your family with nothing, living too long and running out of money, and becoming ill and having no money or depleting the money that you've spent your life saving, paying medical bills and taking care of yourself. And the last thing is everybody worries about their health. Well, the particular policies that Tom and I are speaking of cover all of that. So you can't outlive it. You can die too soon and take care of everyone. But when that event happens, which it will in all of our lives, you can accelerate those benefits and keep your style of living and your business open.
So now, how has all the changes in the insurance and the healthcare world impacted your business?
Well, so here's the thing. Every single day, we talk to our clients. We try to keep in touch and find out what's really happening with them, right? We don't want to just sell them something and let them go away. But we hear those real issues. So that's such a great question. And there's a lot of changes, right? With the Affordable Care Act, which we all know isn't really that affordable to a business owner.
People,
I'm
right.
a business owner myself, as is Jim. And that's why we could both identify with it. Now, we all want access to healthcare. And so it's kind of what we've got for now, which we appreciate. But at the same time, it's tough to afford. And those bills keep coming in, right? When you get sick or hurt and can't work, but your income stops. And not only do the regular bills you have keep coming in, but more bills come in because of your health costs. Even if you have health insurance, as Jim mentioned, I said, wow, because I didn't realize that statistic. 80%, if you missed that, 80% of the people who went bankrupt because of their medical bills had health insurance.
Right.
So that's the thing. Well, I think everyone most here, except for our lovely producer, probably remember the days where there were these great HMO plans that covered essentially everything. I think our first child, we paid $10, to leave the hospital. And it's not like that today. Even if you have a plan, many of them are high deductible plans and you're coming out of pocket for everything that happens. And that's just more cash flow, you know, that's just going away, that's coming from you, that used to come from what you had for a health plan. It's a very different market.
And Tom, 2/3 of recovering from cancer is not covered by your major medical insurance. So they get you through the initial, and then while you're recovering, the bills are astronomical. And without protection, then you're going to be one of those bankruptcy statistics.
You know, and how many people talk about it, though? And that's why we wanted to kind of come on the air here and chat about it, because it's not an issue people are comfortable talking about. But those people don't go away. They're still around, right? And as much as you might think, well, those are their problems. Well, they're not just their problems, are they? Because they're still around and someone has to take care of them. And we as a society do that. And I don't know how well or not we do it, but we certainly pay a lot for it as individuals. And so if you think about it, if we find solutions that people can affordably take part in as a business owner, it prevents those problems from happening. And so we can, problems are going to happen in life. You really can be assured of that. What we try to prevent is these short-term obstacles that come up. We try to prevent them from becoming long-term problems for people. And that we can do.
Now, what is some basic insurance that you think business owners should be thinking about?
Well, one thing that is quite simplistic. I ask everyone, what kind of insurance do you have? I know you have life insurance. And they say, what do you mean? I said, do you have the old kind or the new kind? And they'll say, what do you mean? And I said, well, do you have to die to use yours? And they'll say, well, yeah. I said, well, you have the old kind. You don't have the new kind. It is so funny that people always want the new. So then it goes into the whole conversation. So everybody that has this old kind of insurance, this death insurance, can benefit from upgrading to the living benefits and being able to protect themselves while they're living. Now, businesses are quite unique. Normally, in a lot of businesses, especially in Tom's clientele, if the owner of that business is not around, the business fails or falters. And with the ability for him to be able to keep putting cash into the business while he's laying on the couch for 6 months recovering from a stroke, then that saves his business and everything else financially for him.
It's 100% right. What we deal with every day is supplying the insurance that's required of these truck drivers and their businesses. But that just, the required insurance covers everybody else.
Stakes,
well, it is table stakes, but what it covers is everybody else on the road, not you, and nothing inside your vehicle, right? So it's only covering anything that your vehicle might do to someone else. But what about you? And that's where we realize, well, we really have to reach out and provide a more complete solution.
Right, more holistic that covers the person, a 360 around the person, not just the truck and themselves.
And man, see, you said it so much better than I did. I guess that's why you're the expert in this.
What people, you know, don't realize is the affordability of this coverage. It is, people won't see me because they think it's hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It's not. So it's very affordable. And people, everyone should look at it at least to protect their lives.
Man, that's such a good point, Jim. And I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just, you can't accentuate that enough, that people don't do things a lot of times for just a lack of information. They just don't, they think they know, which is even worse.
And it's a fear. They heard a story that somebody's paid thousands of dollars.
Don't make your life decisions on what someone else did, right? Because it's going to happen to you, and then you better be sure. So I guess what Jim said is such a good point. What's the harm in finding out, right? So we provide, in a way, you can go out to the internet and run quotes all day long and get those 1,000 phone calls that come behind it. What we try to do for our clients is say, let us kind of vet the resources, and then you can look at all your solutions, because we're an independent agency. We can quote all the different companies.
Right, you're just looking for the best deal. You're not forcing a fit down their throat, because that's who you work for.
And they're not going to get those 1,000 phone calls. They're just going to hear from us or one of our trusted partners.
And we represent 14 of the largest carriers in America. And you go down to most downtowns, you look up, there's their name on the biggest building. So we have a lot of choices. And depicting what is best suits them is, there's a lot involved in that. It's their age and their health and their previous health and those kind of things. And we can insure anyone that is healthy till they found out they had cancer yesterday. So we can wow, always take care of people.
And then, so if they wanted to have a more substantive conversation, is the best thing to go to your website and then kind of find you from there?
Absolutely. That's a great start. The easiest way is to go to the site.
What's the website?
So the best one is really transport-station.com. Mm-hmm. So transport-station.com is the easiest site to go to, because there's kind of the myriad of things that we offer there. And it'll let you look, find out what's available, learn a little bit, and then take a next step if you're
And then they can call you. It's no obligation to call and have a conversation, right?
Not at all. We have those conversations every day, right? And so
you're happy to have them. You're trying to educate the people so they can make an informed choice,
right? That's exactly right. We're not here to make a sale. We're here to educate someone and expose the exposure that they have when something happens. And what they do with it is up to them. I don't care if they buy it or not, but my job has it to educate them and try to protect their families is done.
Man, you're 100% right. If I didn't mention it before, I know I did. We get 100 new prospects every single day. So we don't need to try to sell anybody anything. They're all coming our way. We want to help. We really know a lot, you know, for better or worse, this is what we know how to do. We know insurance. And so,
and it's specifically if you're a driver or thinking about being a driver, this is kind of a no-brainer.
You have specific needs, exactly, and those we know all about, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'd love to be that solution, and it gives us pleasure to help others succeed in their business, and that's how our business succeeds. If you think about it, they go out of business, we lose a client selfishly.
So, thank you so much, Tom and Jim, for sharing your story. That's 3G Insurance. The website is transport-station.com for more information. If you're a driver or thinking about becoming a driver, there's a lot of opportunity. They're hungry for drivers, right?
There sure is.
I mean, you can go there just to learn more about that if you're considering it. But if you need insurance, definitely give them a call.
Man, thanks so much for having us. I truly appreciate it. This is great.
Sure. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Hang with us. We've got one more guest. Next up on High Velocity Radio, we got Adwaite Joshi with Data Seers. Welcome.
Thank you.
Can you share a little bit about Data Seers? How are you serving folks?
Sure. So we are a appliance as a service company in the fintech space, right? So as payments are getting more and more complex, and you can literally pay whoever, wherever, whenever, and however, you always wonder what's happening behind the scenes.
Right.
People, are they able to manage their fraud? Are they able to manage the compliance?
Is the person who you think they are.
Exactly. It's the person who you think they are, right? And what's the CFPB doing about it? They're constantly putting out regulation that these banks and fintech processors have to abide by. And if they don't, they get fined. And what we are seeing very commonly across is a lot of these people are not able to keep up with it. Large banks are fined. I mean, just go and Google a bank name followed by the word fine. And you will see it's astronomical.
A lot of fines.
It's astronomical. I mean, there is $800 billion
in
worth
fines?
Of fines across the world in the past 5 years, right?
Wow.
And that's an astronomical number.
Is it because it's a complicated and it's hard to follow the regulations, or is it just because they can't keep up with the technology?
Both, right? The regulations complex, and the fraudsters are way smarter than all of us, right? If they were not,
well, that's their job.
Exactly.
That's the thing people don't realize. The people that are doing the hacking and doing the illegal stuff, this is their job.
Oh, yeah.
This is what they're doing for a living.
Absolutely. And you talk about AI, artificial intelligence, and all of these people making investments in it. The hackers have way advanced AI than any of us do.
Really? Yeah. Why is that?
Because that's what they're doing. They're trying to figure out how to defraud the system. They're trying to figure out how to beat an algorithm that already exists. So these guys are way smarter than all of us. So we are always one step behind them, right? So the challenge becomes, how do we keep up? And so we came up with a solution that data does not lie. You look through data and you're able to figure everything out. You find relationships, you find person A is related to person B, and they're doing this fraud together. So we have developed a very unique product. All you do is send it all the data in your company, and it goes ahead and analyzes everything that's out there and starts putting out alerts and anomalies.
And then, so what type of industry is this best suited for?
So we are focused very much in the prepaid space, which is right now, if you look at how much the industry is growing, thanks to the unbankables, thanks to the millennials who hate banks. They don't want bank accounts.
Right.
So they want everything on a prepaid card.
It's like Venmo, is that
exactly
an example?
The Square of the world, Venmos of the world, Zelles of the world, all of these convenient payment systems. People don't have a bank account these days. Talk about rebate checks, talk about payroll cards, government benefits. Everything is moving to prepaid. And that's where it's a majority of a fraud, right? You walk into a bank and commit a fraud, the chances are low. You sign up for a program on your cell phone and you commit a fraud, the chances are very high because nobody's watching you.
Right.
And they have created synthetic entities. So if I go online and I try to get a card, they're checking a name and a social security number through a machine. And people have gone and created synthetic entities where the machine says, this is valid. When you look closely, that name can be from P. McNasty Pants. And that just got a card.
Right.
And that's the reality of the matter, that they actually have a valid social security number in all the systems. So how do you keep track of that, right? That becomes a very big challenge, because when you have hundreds of millions of customers pumping through billions of dollars and they're happening at like 200, 300 transactions a second.
Right. And that's the thing. The consumer's expectation is the transaction is going to be in milliseconds. And then the technology is supposed to be vetting both sides, making sure that they're who they say they are, they have the funds and all this stuff. It's
Absolutely.
Putting a lot of tension into the transaction.
Absolutely. And thankfully, we have the technology, right? The technology has never been the problem. People have always been the problem. Do you know the technology? Can you use it efficiently? Just because I gave you a Ferrari doesn't mean you can be the world's fastest driver, right?
Right.
You have to know how to drive that vehicle. You know, need to know everything about it. So that's what we are doing. We are saying that, listen, if you're a bank, you know, you focus on what you do, which is the banking side. We are a technology company that specializes in providing these services. So let's do that for you, and we'll do it much better than you can.
So you're targeting large banks or banks of all size? You mentioned the prepaid.
Yeah, so that's a very interesting market. So if you look at banks that are less than $10 billion in assets, make most of the money. Banks that are more than $10 billion in the assets, they actually make less money. And why that is because of Dodd-Frank and all the Durbin Act. It's basically an interchange equation. So every time you swipe your card, banks are making pennies on it,
right,
or fractions of pennies. For a bank less than $10 billion, it's a percentage of whatever you're spending. For a bank that is more than $10 billion, it's usually 18 to 22 cents. It's a fixed price.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the volume of transactions, it benefits the small banks. And that's where majority of the problems exist, because they're so small. They can't keep up with it.
They don't have the infrastructure.
Exactly. So we target less than $10 billion right now. Of course, we are very new, growing very fast.
But your banks are all over the world?
Right now, we are focused on the U.S. only because the regulation here is skyrocketing. But we are now starting to go out. So this year, 2018, our focus has been to look at outside of U.S. and see what's out there, so that 2019, we can go out and do this in other countries.
So you're looking to have conversations with the CIO of banks under $10 billion?
Correct. Correct. Those are the conversations we have every day, yes.
And then, so you're having, are they calling you, or you have to kind of explain what you got to them?
It's an interesting thing. Banking is a very small industry, right? All the banks, they may hate each other, but they love each other and they work together.
They have to work together.
Exactly. So the good thing is you work with one bank, you make their life easy. They're going to tell the story.
Tell their friends.
Right. Yeah. So that's some of the things that we are seeing. Of course, we have to go out and we have to tell them who we are. And we are only a year old company, but the growth that we are seeing right now, it's unreal. I mean, we are growing faster than anything else out there, getting a lot of traction in the industry because simple reason, we are solving a problem.
Right. And it's a real problem. It's not a perceived problem.
Nope, it's a real problem.
So now, are you, you're leveraging artificial intelligence and machine learning as well?
Absolutely. So we are actually based on a HPCC technology, HPCC systems, which was invented by LexisNexis. And they made it open source for the community because they said that, listen, you know, we gather all of this information on people, we assemble it, and the data is very accurate, right? It's, you can't be not accurate about someone's identity.
Right.
So they made it open source, and it's a perfect use case for us because we do the same in a way, right? We assemble data from a lot of different sources, assemble it quickly, and make it right. So absolutely, we use machine learning and AI. We have algorithms that are specifically catered towards prepaid that watch for things that we know people do. So there's a lot of money laundering that happens on prepaid side. Cash in, cash out. People transferring money from here and there. So we watch for those patterns, which typically you wouldn't on a credit card.
Right. But so is the government reaching out to you or like the DEA or any of these kind of where the, I would think drug cartels would have an obvious pattern of use of this kind of technology?
Exactly. So it's funny you asked that. A few years ago, an algorithm that I had written caught a very large problem in the industry. And it was able to go back and specifically target a group of individuals that were that may have been involved in the on the drug side. So as we continue to grow, we actually have a very big footprint to start working with the CIA and FBI and even FinCEN to see if we can provide them information. Can we create a network so that if when they need access, when they need information, all of it is in one place. Right. They don't have to go to 10 different sources to get it and assemble it.
Because then that'll give them the data faster.
Exactly. Right. Faster, quicker. And we can track real time, right? So if a person is swiping his card and you're sending that transaction onto our platform, we can track them in real time. So you could actually pull out your phone and say, okay, this individual is standing in this place right now because he swiped his card.
You'd have the GPS because the phone.
Actually, terminal ID. We know where they're swiping the card and all of that. So yeah, absolutely. So we could actually drive that into a real time arrest for somebody. Live arrest, as we call it.
Has that happened?
Can't tell you because of NDAs, but you can imagine the technology does exist.
Right.
Right. So, and more often than not, it's going to happen.
So now, you're the brains behind the algorithm?
Yes, I actually have been in the financial services industry for a while, saw this problem over and over and over and over again and said, you know what, there has to be a solution. So we went back to the drawing board, kind of charted out what can be done. And did it. So
what would that original whiteboard look like when you were charting out what the possibility, like how, like what were the variables you were playing with and where did you see the commonality?
So the funny part was when I drew out how things are done today, there was every single arrow going every single way possible. Mm-hmm. And that was a problem, right? Because when you have too much going on.
You need the anomalies.
Exactly. When there's too much going on, you don't even know where to focus.
Right.
So we had to start with basic things, saying that, okay, let's start with, you know, it's a simple equation. You know, when it rains a lot and when water starts flowing in all directions, the first thing the drainage guy is going to do is let's figure out where the water is going to flow through. Then we can manage it at one place. That's exactly what we did, right? We took all the data and said, whoa, there's too much information. Let's manage it. Let's bring it out through a single channel in. And so we simplified that whole equation. When we go to market, when we talk to our people, how simple the solution is, by the time you give me raw data, and I did a demo to somebody, with somebody this morning, by the time you give me raw data, to the point I'm showing you problems and anomalies in your data, it's literally a matter of minute before you can finish your cup of coffee, that information is available. And that's because technology exists. So why don't people do that, right? That's what you end up asking, is because they end up complicating their own world.
Because they're using human thinking rather than the
And kludgy processes. Over a period of time, they acquire all these nice companies and, you know, you speak a different language.
Right, because it's not consistent.
It's a mess.
Right. So now this is just putting it all under one umbrella.
Exactly. And developing it ground up, having seen the problems and coming up with everything from scratch kind of helped us.
And now, when are the Are the banks open to giving you this raw data?
So
like what's the, they don't have any fear in that regard?
That's a great question. So they don't technically give us the data. We give them the technology.
Uh-huh.
The data sits behind their firewall. So if they want to shut us off, you can shut us off. The system will still do the job.
Mm-hmm.
So they are in full control of all of their data. We just give them a vehicle to go from point A to point B. Where they go, how they go, we don't look at it.
But then they have to use your technology?
Correct.
So that means you have to train them on how to use it?
No, it's actually, that's a very good question. So everything is automated. If you can drop a file into a folder.
That's all that's happening.
All that, and anybody can do that, right? Just drop the data.
So then what's the output once I drop the data in that file?
You actually get all the dashboards on the other side. So you're talking about BSA AML compliance, which means anti-money laundering dashboards. You're looking at restricted countries dashboards. Hey, is somebody spending money in Cuba? Somebody's spending money in Iran? So all of those dashboards, your executive leadership is just sitting back and looking at what's happening right now.
And it's pulling kind of those anomalies and putting them in those
exactly.
buckets. And then, so is it going to say John Smith in Iran just did a transaction?
Absolutely.
And then so what do I do as a bank once I know that?
So once you know it's John Smith, once you have some kind of unique identifier, whether it's a card number, account number, whatever, you can take that number and punch it into a Google-like search bar onto our system. And it goes and finds every single connection with John Smith. And now you have a full portfolio saying that John Smith not only did this, but he also did this, this, and this. Now, if you want, you can take that information and file a SARS, which is a suspicious activity report that you file with FinCEN.
Mm-hmm.
And so the system allows you to extract this information so quickly that it's unbelievable when people look at it and it's like, how did this work? How did you make this work? And it's all data management. That's it at the end of the day.
Right. And that's kind of the simplicity about it is kind of the beauty, right?
Exactly. And I always tell people that we have learned how to tame the data demon.
Mm-hmm.
And
so now is it something that, I mean, it makes perfect sense in banking. Is there any other, can it work in other industries?
Absolutely. So one of the other things we do, not just from fraud and compliance, is basic stuff like reconciliation. At the end of the day, does your money in and money out add up? And a lot of times it doesn't because
right.
people don't see the data as transparently as we do, right? So if you look at that reconciliation problem, it exists in a lot of places. Talk about IVR and call centers.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about parking systems. You know, you have so many tickets that were issued, but only so many paid. And that also happened between 1 and 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Now you start asking, okay, who worked? Is he,
right.
is he letting these guys out by just taking cash? Or what's going on here, right? So it can apply to any transactional system. All I need is two things, a unique date, a unique ID, and a date timestamp. If you have that in any system, so we are now looking at IoT.
Right.
We are looking at transactional systems where it comes smarter tickets, parking tickets,
parking, right.
anything. I mean, just name it.
And could it work like in law enforcement, like the police?
Absolutely. In fact, there is some use cases that we were talking to. There is a great use case with, for example, U.S. courts. So U.S. courts tries to assemble all of these documents that they find. On like a dossier on something. And they are still going around with books and books and books of information because that's the way that they think it is going to be helpful. Well, what if you can put that in a technology platform and link it all together and be able to extract it? So same logic applies. I think the most beautiful use case, and if you are able to get them as a client, I think we will have a multi-billion dollar exit, is the IRS. Think about tax filings.
Right.
Taxes alone are so complex that I always wonder, are they even looking at this?
Right.
I mean, it's impossible, right? But at the end of the day, it's numbers. Think about it. And our system does reconciliation. So you have a social security number is your unique ID.
Right. So and you have all the things you need
everything,
to make it work.
Right. So we can real time. So as soon as you file your taxes, our system can tell you it's right or wrong. And not just for that year.
For
we can go
year.
Back. So it could be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, people might hate us.
Now, you mentioned that it works with the data set being numbers. Can the data set be letters? And you can use this to find words or connections or like search emails to find, hey, this code word means this. And I can see that they're doing something illegal under this kind of code name.
Absolutely. So think about what I said. Who is the inventor of this technology, LexisNexis? And what you just explained is their core business model, right? They go and scrape information off of the web. Mm-hmm. And they are not only comparing Euclidean data, which is numbers, but they're also comparing it to unstructured data, which could be tweets, Facebook, Google right. searches, Craigslist, whatever, you name it. So the technology exists for us to go ahead and try to find matches. So let's say your phone number showed up on the dark web, but instead of it being 404-123-456-78, it was 4-0, the right. number 4. And because people like to spell the numbers like that so that the algorithms won't catch it, it's very easy because it's just a 1:1 mapping.
Right.
So we have the ability to do stuff like that. And there is some interesting stuff that we are working on where we are going to start crawling the dark web. That's where the partnerships with FBI and Secret Service will come into picture. Where can we go in and get this information out and tie it to the bad players?
Could you like work with lawyers to take if they had just documents and documents of words and they're trying to see if there's a threat of, hey, these people, this criminal activity was happening and they're calling, they were referring to this thing. And then you can kind of map out who the players were that are using that phrase or something.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we are now starting to do on our platform on top of what we already have is creating a distributed ledger network. So you may have heard the word blockchain.
Right.
Right. That's what is a distributed ledger. And so what we are doing is if a lawyer has a piece of document or evidence that he wants to share with other lawyers because the case is tied together, they can actually put it on a distributed ledger. They can sign it with their keys and it actually becomes a tamper-proof evidence that goes on the ledger. And whoever is a part of it can use that information and validate it independently. So that applies very much so in transaction processing. Did this transaction really happen?
Right. So you have to authenticate it and you have to make sure the person is the person.
There you go.
And it's transparent that anyone could see
it. There you go. So that technology currently is being developed on top of our platform. So once it's ready by end of the year, we'll actually launch it. And everything that we are doing will be able to, if you want to share it with other, like what I said earlier, 10 banks working together. Hey, listen, I'm not going to give you all the information, but the fraud information I want to work with you on. Boom, just
so you can just pull that sliver out and then everybody knows who's got it. And then if they leak it or if something happens, you know where it came from.
Yep. And think about it as a pensieve if you watched Harry Potter. Just take a strand of your memory out and put it
put it in there. And then you can have as many strands as you want.
Absolutely.
Or you can give them all the strands.
Absolutely. And that's up to you.
Because you're in control of the
yep.
data.
All you have to do is, you know, of course, there is secrecy acts and
right.
papers to be signed. But once it's fraud, it defies all laws, right? It's fraud. Now right. you can share it with other people. So
now it would also work in the case of like in the government, they have a lot of leaking of information. If it was using this blockchain technology, it would be able to determine who was the leaker?
That's an interesting thought. It's possible, right? But one of the things that we know, especially like since you said blockchain, even in the crypto space, right? The hard thing is to track what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest challenge. You know, you can only track it so back. Your IDs change every so frequently. So now you don't know where the money really came from, right?
Right.
So there are technologies now that are able to do that. So there is a company called Elliptic who tracks cryptocurrency for money laundering. So as the technology evolves, it will absolutely be helpful to track where the leak came from.
And for you and your growth, you're just looking to get in front of more CIOs of banks under $10 billion in assets?
Right. That's our 2018 focus, less than $10 billion, because the bigger companies, even if they're interested in us, they a lot of times ask you for 3 years of audited tax returns.
Right.
And or
you've only been around for a year.
So. Exactly. And we are doing very well. So we are looking at raising some money this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking to a lot of VCs. Once that happens, a lot of bigger banks look at you differently.
Right.
Because they suddenly validate you because you raised so much money from
sure.
a VC firm.
So were you at FinTech South recently?
We were. We actually were selected as one of the 4 finalists for the most innovative companies in mm-hmm. Georgia. We got to tell our story. A lot of people came and gave us feedback that, you know, this is great. You're solving a real problem. In fact,
right.
we got so much traction. We were also selected as one of the companies to go to Singapore as a part of the state of Georgia and Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce for a big fintech event.
Right.
And we went there and we came back as a success story because a lot of times they go out, they take these companies, but then they don't have a success to share. We actually came back with a huge contract. And the client is now going live, so which was a great success story for us. So we have been getting a lot of promotion from all the chambers, the
right.
state. Yeah.
Well, the city is definitely have a big initiative around fintech.
Absolutely.
I And Atlanta is one of the, you know, main fintech areas.
Yeah, and we are sitting in the transaction alley right now.
Exactly. A lot of people don't realize how many financial transactions happen through the city of Atlanta.
So don't quote me for this. Metro Atlanta and the state has a better number, but I think something like 70 or 80% of all financial transactions flow through Atlanta.
Right. And people don't, it's under the radar.
Oh, yeah. It's under the radar. I mean, think about it. New York Stock Exchange.
Right.
Is owned and operated out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Right. Well, we had, we were there at FinTech South Broadcasting, and there was an international component that was out of Europe was there, and we got to interview some of the people. And I asked them, I go, when you were telling your colleagues in Europe about coming to America for this big FinTech conference, where did they think you were going to go? And they all thought like New York or San Francisco. And I go, when you told them you were in Atlanta, they were like, they didn't connect the dots that Atlanta, but Atlanta has almost every player in fintech is based, has an office here for sure, right?
Absolutely. And think about it, especially for Europe, right? Look at the advantages. It's an 8-hour flight. It's, you know, a smaller time difference compared to California. So you're not working crazy hours.
Right.
You can still wake up in the US and work with people in Europe. And then we have tax incentives.
Right.
There's so much benefit to being in Atlanta and being in Georgia and the talent pool. Just look at the universities around here.
And the cost of living is
absolutely
so much less.
Well, we'll see what happens if Amazon does decide to come here.
That could change things.
Exactly.
All right. So if somebody wanted to learn more and have more substantive conversation with you, what's the website?
Dataseers.ai.
That's dataseers.ai.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.